Hi, everybody. During the months of March and April, we are highlighting the work of Rios to Rivers in our community effort to showcase organizations who are working towards social justice, environmental action, and more inclusive public lands.
Rios to Rivers inspires the protection of rivers worldwide by investing in underserved and indigenous youth who are intimately connected to their local waters and support them in their development as the next generation of environmental stewards.
Founded in 2012, Rios to Rivers programs have connected 234 underserved and indigenous students from 20 endangered river basins in 7 countries. The programs have included students and community leaders from 21 indigenous nations.
Rios to Rivers envisions a world in which youth who are intimately connected to their local waters and tribal communities are equipped to become the next generation of passionate leaders for healthy rivers and communities.
Make monthly charitable giving a trend in your life in 2024 and help to support Rios to Rivers this March and April. Visit the link in our Instagram bio for more information. Hello and welcome to Trail Mix by Gaze at the National Parks.
I'm Dusty.
And I'm Mike. And Trail Mix are smaller format episodes between our larger format episodes.
And on today's Trail Mix, it's all about updates from the Hawaii National Parks.
That's right. Our time in Hawaii is sadly coming to a close, as this will be our last episode right now.
Anyway, oh, yeah. For now.
For now. On the National Parks of Hawaii, as well as Kauai.
Yes. The National Parks of Hawaii, which include Hawaii Volcanoes National Park and Haleakala National Park, which originally they were together in one national park.
Right. And they were split in 1916, I believe.
Yes. Yeah. They were split apart into two different parks.
That's right. It's the opposite of that Spice Girls song, when two becomes one.
Yes. Yeah. When one becomes two.
The less popular
just
B-side
like
version.
Mitosis.
Right.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep. This is the second reference to mitosis that
we've
made
I know.
In Hawaii.
Science. Yeah. So we do have some park updates for you. These are things that have been in the news that have come to our attention that we really wanted to highlight because they do relate to the national parks in a big way. Some of the news is great and exciting for the national parks. Some of it
is devastating.
Yeah. which is typically the case. It's a mixed bag, folks.
Always.
All the time. Always.
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 Yes.
Yeah.
That's a reference to Fleabag. Yeah. If you haven't watched Fleabag, please do.
Yeah. Get on it.
Yes.
Ladies and gents.
Mm-hmm.
But
I'm here for you. Always.
Always.
Girls. Always.
We're going to start with talking about Hawaii Volcanoes. This is kind of where the biggest, kind of brightest news has come in. Unfortunately, it comes on the heels of some news that was rough for the park and for the inhabitants of the Big Island when in 2018, there were a series of eruptions, basically right in Hawaii Volcanoes National Park. The Eastern Rift, I believe, is exactly where everything kind of went down. So I'm just going to recap a little, because we have talked about this a little on our Volcanoes episode. There was a 6.9 magnitude earthquake that rocked the east side of the Big Island on May 4th of 2018. And it basically was right there in Hawaii Volcanoes National Park. It was, according to an article from Hawaii News Now, such a huge jolt, and there was a lot of rock fall at the time. This is a quote directly from Jessica Farrakane, who is a resident that was right near the epicenter. Basically, the park ended up closing sort of initially for a day or so, but then the park ended up being closed. It reopened, but then they were like, oh no, we need to shut this down. And it was closed for 134 days, which is a lot of time for a national park, considering that even during the government shutdown, the parks were open, although they are run by people that work for the government. So this was a big deal for Hawaii Volcanoes to be shut down. So the closure was, you know, an important decision to make because it was very clear that there were a lot of safety issues that were happening. The park is usually used to opening for Mauna Loa and Kilauea when there are eruptions so the public can see it, because if you remember from our Volcanoes episode, there was no flowing active lava on the surface. And that's a very big attraction for people at Hawaii Volcanoes. So that's something that they're used to doing, but this was a totally different story. Some things that have changed because of the park closure, because of the eruption. And some things that are still closed include the Jagger Museum, which is kind of right on the edge of things. The Thurston Lava Tube is still closed. You can no longer walk across the Kilauea Caldera to the Halemaumau Crater. And why is that, Dusty?
Well, the Halemaumau Crater used to be about 280 feet deep. And since the eruption, it's now 1,600 feet deep.
Yeah, that's a pretty big drop for all our math people. That's 1,320 feet. Am I right?
Yes.
Did I win the prize?
You won the prize.
That's right. I passed my SAT. And, you know, there were a lot of other things that were closed, like the Kilauea Iki Trail. And this is a trail that was eventually reopened, but only partially reopened.
And when we hiked it, we hiked what had been partially reopened.
Right. Which was basically crossing the Kilauea Iki crater, but not really coming back up the crater and around the canyon wall or around the wall of the crater back to the start. But back in September, late August, early September of this year.
This was a little synchronistic and it was unbeknownst to us, but the day we released episode 26, which was us hiking the Kilauea Iki Trail, was the day they announced the reopening of the Kilauea Iki Trail.
The full reopening.
The full reopening.
Right, because when we hiked it, it was literally a there and back. But
it was a there and back, but now it's back to being a loop.
Right, and we actually got some feedback from some people that had hiked it fully after the fact, which was great. And it's really, you know, it's something that, again, there's not a lot of FOMO there by any means, because just hiking through the crater was incredible. And
There was plenty to see,
but, you know, completing a loop is a nice thing too sometimes.
Yeah.
So it's really great that that is something that has fully reopened at this point. I don't know if there's a timeline for the Jagger Museum to reopen, if there's a timeline for the Thurston Lava Tube, or if you're ever going to be able to cross that Kilauea Caldera to the Halemaumau Crater. But this is some great news from our friends and folks at Hawaii Volcanoes. And it's really an awesome thing to be able to now fully complete this hike.
I think it is also worth noting that this volcanic eruption, not only did it deepen the Halemaumau Crater from 280 feet to 1,600 feet, it also expanded it from 0.5 miles wide to a mile and a half wide.
Yeah, and that's a pretty big drastic change. There used to be a lake of lava at the bottom of the crater, and now it's filled with water. This was an article too that we had read.
Yes, and we mentioned a little bit of this before,
that we wanted to touch base on, because they weren't sure if the water was groundswell water or if it was water that was collecting from rain, and what that could potentially lead to.
Rain is one thing, but right, if it is groundwater, that is a totally different thing.
Mm-hmm. There are some other updates to the park itself. Like we said, Kilauea Iki has reopened. The Thurston Lava Tube, it's going to stay closed, but they said it should reopen later this year. This is an article from the San Francisco Chronicle. They're going to install a monitoring system and rearrange the parking there to, again, make sure that things are safe. There are apparently lava tubes that are publicly accessible outside of the park. So, and there's also a privately managed cave near the volcano that remain open. So those are things that you can check out if you're bummed that you don't get to the Thurston Lava Tube. They are saying that, you know, there isn't any lava glowing in the depths of Halemaumau right now, but there are still smelly vapors that arise and steam that billows from the vents on the bluffs. And we have seen those when we were on the Sulphur Banks Trail, but we also saw that when we hiked down the Devastation Trail, and we were probably the closest we could get to the Halemaumau Crater. We saw a ton of steam rising from the crater itself.
Yes.
And some smelly vapors, but I think those were from you.
You act like it was only from
me. That's right.
No, throwing me under the bus like that.
The smelly vapors.
You jump in front of the bus too, girl, because you are guilty.
That's right.
Guilty as charged. Okay, now let's talk about Haleakala National Park. Something that recently came out is some off-roading that was happening at Haleakala National Park.
Right.
Which I find to be a little, off-roading. Off-roading is a type of recreational sport that exists everywhere, but just like with any recreational sport, there's a way to do it that is respectful of, you know, nature, and there's a way to do it that's not. And we talked a little bit about off-roading when it came to the Joshua Tree problem.
Right.
During the government shutdown, there were some people off-roading running over Joshua trees, you know. The trees that took thousands of years to grow, those trees.
And are endangered now because of climate change.
And are endangered now and only grow in literally this one place.
Mm-hmm.
So what is going on with off-roading in Haleakala National Park?
So this was news that happened earlier in October. There was an off-roader who, near the summit of the park, went off-roading and driven over some federally protective plants, which are known as silver swords. Silver swords are something we saw all over Haleakala National Park. Similar to the Joshua tree, this is a plant that only grows in a specific spot, and that specific spot is Haleakala National Park. There are tracks that show where the vehicle had gone off the road at the summit of Haleakala. There were several silver sword plants that were killed, and they literally grow nowhere else in the world. The vehicle also destroyed part of a historic trail, the Keonahehe Trail, which was built by the Civilian Conservation Corps in 1934. So this is a pretty big crime in a lot of ways. And it's pretty awful. We never like to hear this sort of news at a national park because it just shows that people lack the situational awareness and the empathy for the fact that they are in a habitat that is not their own and that they are really working against so much of what the national park system is trying to do. And they are setting up future generations for failure or for loss.
Right. Right. Let's go back to like just reviewing a couple of things. The major rule in a national park is the following, is that when something is designated a national park, it is like it is frozen in time and space. Nothing can be taken out of that space at all. Unlike a national forest is literally created so that you can like grow and cut trees and continue to grow and cut trees like as needed for an area as a resource. But in a national park, like, no, like you're not. It is a federal law to take anything from a national park. Like, for example, if you go to the Petrified Forest National Park, they will check your car to make sure that you did not take any petrified wood. Because the petrified wood is just exactly where it landed. The trails have been created around the petrified wood where it was possible. And so that's the point. The point is for us to visit and for us to take in what is happening in this beautiful natural space. So I think it is important to remember that we take nothing from national parks. They just give us everything. But yeah, we take nothing.
Right.
That's the rule.
Yeah. And it's important to realize that these are spaces for everyone.
There's spaces for everyone.
And so if you take something or if you destroy something, you were destroying that for future generations or taking that away from future generations. You know, this is a little bit on a tangent, but there's a lot of times where we have seen graffiti, like physical graffiti in parks. This is a big issue too. There's a great Instagram account called Public Lands Hate You.
Oh, it's now called Public Lands Dislike You.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Yeah, they changed it to hate because they thought hate was a really
strong
word.
Yeah.
But yeah, they do call out people who, yeah. They recently got in a really heated. Listen, I love the drama that they start on this account. They got into this heated argument with this person who brought their dog on a hiking trail because, listen, you will not meet anybody who loves dogs more than me, except for maybe this one over here.
My ovaries for dogs are exploding.
Yes. But yeah, there are certain national parks that have like a really strong rule about like no dogs or pets on the trails. And now I think some of those rules might be different when it comes to service animals. Mm-hmm. Generally speaking, there are specific rules in different parks about dogs and animals that you need to, you know, look up and abide by. That's for a number of reasons, for, you know, the safety of the park, also the safety of the animal, especially if there are other animals walking around that national park that, you know, those animals could smell that dog and, mm-hmm. you know, who knows what will happen. So there are a lot of reasons for it. And right. They did get into this heated back and forth with this one guy who brought his dog on a hike. And, you know, I just love watching it unfold. I'm just like eating popcorn and scrolling and yeah. right here for the drama. But yeah.
But back to
the silver swords.
Well, back to even just graffiti is where we had launched off.
Graffiti is never acceptable.
And it was something that we saw in Hawaii Volcanoes on that animal blind that we had walked by when we were on the Halemaumau Trail.
That's true. And the thing was, is that graffiti doesn't mean like I've taken a can of spray paint.
Right.
Like graffiti can mean like I've taken a rock and like carved my name into like this old tree.
Right.
Yeah. Or taken my, you know, or done it into this rock or something right. like that. That's also not great.
No.
You know what I mean?
No.
Like, just that's like why we tattoos in, exist.
Right. Just
tattoo yourself.
Right.
Do something.
Just like
I don't
when
know.
We were in.
Do something else.
In Smoky Mountains and in the fire tower when we were at the
I
top of
I feel a
Mount
little
Camera.
Different about that because that fire tower was built by people. And like that.
But so is the bird blinds too.
Right. But I'm saying
or
like
the animal blind.
A natural tree didn't grow out of the ground
right.
and like people
but it,
didn't
I think
do
it
that
is
there.
Like,
but all I'm saying is like yeah. that felt a little different to me than say like walking through trees and seeing people carve things into trees.
Right. Which I feel like we saw when we were in Colorado. I do remember that when we were in Rocky Mountain.
That's
when we
true.
Were hiking in Grand Lake.
But I feel like there's a big difference between like someone carving their name into something that was built by people.
Okay.
And running over silver swords with
yeah.
a car.
Yeah, you're right. There is a difference.
There is
there's
a difference.
Still levels of terrible.
There's still levels. Now we're right. getting into like, yeah. you know, terrible yeah. relativism.
Which circle of
which
hell
circle
are you
of
in?
Hell are you coming? Right. Moral relativism.
Right.
But, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage. More relativism.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, anyway. But yeah, no, I mean, it's incredible to see these silver sword plants in person. They are a beautiful, beautiful plant that really do like have such an otherworldly look to them. And
oh,
so
yeah.
the
you'll
fact
never see
that,
them like
yeah,
anywhere else, literally.
The fact that this is actually a travesty for anyone that is a conservationist, whether they are like truly a conservationist and that's their job, or they're a conservationist at heart, or if you're an enthusiast for the national parks, it's not great, guys. Like, you know,
yeah,
just
we, can
we
can do better.
We can
do
better.
Better. We can we do can. Better. Also, we know better.
Yeah, we do know better. So
we know better. We can do better.
Right. So I don't believe this case has been cracked yet. I think they're still looking to get information to see who potentially could have, you know, run these silver swords over. But that is some definite upsetting news to hear. Just like when Joshua Tree was experiencing all those issues. And it's never something you want to hear about the national parks.
No, it's not. And it's also, I know it upset this Libra over here.
Because I love my plant
babies.
You
love your plant babies.
I know. Mm-hmm. I do.
I know. Sacred spaces, everybody.
Yeah.
Let's respect them. Hey, everybody. We are actively planning our hiking for this year. And so you know what that means. Our moon travel guides are out and about. We're marking them up and we're writing in all of our notes. We sincerely love them and we use moon travel guides all the time.
Moon is our favorite travel guidebook publisher because their authors are real people who live in and know the areas they're writing about like the back of their hand.
And we can trust them. From hikes to campsites to city sites to restaurants, Moon Travel has you covered.
So ready to cross something off your travel bucket list in 2024?
Have a lot of great ideas for trips but don't know how to get started or keep your itinerary organized?
Wherever your wanderings might take you or inspire you to go, Moon Travel has you covered.
Moon Travel Travel is the travel guidebook publisher for ethical travel.
Don't spend months trying to craft the perfect getaway when you can do it all with Moon.
Whether you're headed out abroad, planning to take on the open road, or want to wander the trails of a national park, make sure to pack a Moon travel guide with you.
And through the end of 2024, our listeners can exclusively get 20% off any Moon travel guide when you go to moon.com. Use the code GAZE24 at checkout.
That's right. That is moon.com and use code GAZE24. And that's GAZE24 for 20% off any Moon travel guide in Moon's entire library at moon.com. And that is exclusively for GAZE listeners. Inspired by the end of this trail mix here, let's play a game. The game is called Moral Relativism.
You mean Mora Relativism?
Mora Relativism, okay. Sure. Yes. I'm going to give you three examples of people being shitty in national parks, mm-hmm. and you have to rate them on, like, which is the worst.
Mm-hmm. One doo-doo, two doo-doos, or three doo-doos?
Three doo-doos, right.
Three doo-doos strong.
Is the worst, right?
Three doo-doos is the worst.
Okay,
yeah.
Great.
The more doo-doo, the worse it is. Exactly. I don't know how more doo-doo makes for a better situation.
No, I don't either.
Yeah.
Okay.
Unless you're in the plumbing business.
Okay, here we go. Okay, three examples.
Okay, great.
Okay, first one. Off-roading, uh-huh. in a car and, you know, destroying plant life that great. Only grows in this one area.
Mm-hmm. Not great. I mean, but yeah,
no.
I got it.
Yeah. Plant poaching.
Mm.
Just straight up taking
Taking
plants.
A little silver sword baby.
Yes.
Or a ginseng baby.
Or ginseng from the Great Smoky Mountains. Right. Littering.
Oh.
This is really hard for me, like, thinking about these three right now. And I'm like, they're all horrible. They should, we should all burn for these three things. But yeah.
So I think that... I'm going to say that on the scope of everything, that littering is probably, I mean, it depends on the volume of littering, but, like, you know, casual littering is probably just a one doo-doo on the more relativism scale.
Well, if you're me, I'm the one who will just pick up the old beer cans our walk.
Right, and put them in Leah's bag and the beer will go everywhere.
You will just see it and walk by.
Yeah. That's a lie.
I'm kidding. I know that.
So, yeah, that's the one doo-doo. I feel like I think I'm going backwards from how you gave them to me. Because while a plant poaching is a problem, I do feel like off-roading causes more problems and, like, can really, really set back a national park or the parts of a national park in a really big way. If you think about, like, arches where you have, like, these microbial surfaces, these microbial growths that... you know, take so much time to grow.
Hundreds,
and then, like,
thousands
you step
of years
on it
to grow.
And then it's, you know, kaput. So I'm going to say the two doo-doo crime is the two doo-doo crime is the plant poaching, although that's awful. And then, because this Libra is dying over here, and three doo-doos is the off-roading. You're cackling over there.
I am cackling.
Do you like
because
the three doo-doo crime?
I love calling it that one. I also, like, it's killing you to have to, like, give one more weight than another.
I know it is. It's awful. All right, let me give you mine. Graffitiing a natural resource within a national park.
Like with spray paint?
With any sort of graffiti. Let's just start there. Like, right. Whether it's a scrawl or a scratch-in, if you're really a total, like, dickhead, language from me, and you're bringing in spray paint, then you really deserve to rot. strong opinions over here. So graffiti, bathrooming in a way where you need to, like, bury it, but not so leaving your defecation in places. And whether that's from you or from your animal that maybe is allowed in a national park, maybe isn't. I think littering is also on there for me.
Okay.
Oh, actually, I'm going to change that.
Change it.
Approaching wildlife.
And approaching wildlife.
There we go. So we have something different.
Okay, so my three are...
Graffiti,
leaving your waste.
Doo-dooing.
And then an approaching an animal.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
I think
they're all bad.
They're all bad.
Yeah.
All of these are bad.
Yeah. All are
doo-doo
crimes.
Don't ever do any of these doo-doo crimes. Doo-doo crimes is, this is, that's the new name of this.
Doo-doo crimes is a drag queen. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the stage, doo-doo crimes.
Okay. So the one doo-doo crime in this game is, I think I'm going to say human or animal waste. Okay. And the reason I say that is because it has somehow passed naturally through the body.
Right.
So it could somehow make its way back into the earth.
Right.
It's not great.
Chock full of chemicals.
The earth
and,
in this area is not asking for this natural waste to be incorporated into its ecosystem. Right. But in a world in which, like, these, it's between these three things, I think that's the one.
And we're not really talking about peeing here.
No, we're not peeing here. We're talking about doo-doo.
Yeah, we're talking about doo-doo.
Literally.
The one doo-doo crime.
Right. Okay, two doo-doos. I think would be littering, and that's because...
No, I changed littering. It's graffiti.
Oh, graffiti. Yeah. Oh, it's graffiti.
Yeah. Does that change your scale?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, it doesn't. I would put graffiti and littering both here at two doo-doos.
Okay.
I'm going to include littering just because you said it. Why not? And that's because littering things, none of those things that we would litter are natural.
Right.
Like plastic,
right.
Glass,
none
of those things.
Like that sunblock that you let go over the waterfall?
Talking about yourself there, that you threw into the water. You tossed into the water because you were done with the bottle. Yeah.
That's me.
That's you.
I hate the earth.
Mm-hmm. So, two doo-doos for that, I think. And then the same with the graffiti, because the graffiti isn't great. The graffiti is horrifying.
Right.
Like, I don't need to know that, one, you were here, and I don't need to know who you loved at the time, and I don't need to see your name inside of a heart.
Right.
Literally, no one cares.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, go do something else that's meaningful. And spray paint is really horrible, but yeah, it's two doo-doos. But for me, three doo-doos is approaching an animal. And that is because you are guests in that space, and like, that is that animal's territory.
Right.
You know what I mean? And like, human interaction with animals that are wild can alter the course of like how that animal conditions itself to find food.
Yeah.
You know, literally an animal could have to be euthanized because of its interaction with human beings.
It's true.
And no one wants that.
No.
So, because if that animal starts to depend on humans for food, that's when an animal can start targeting humans. And if that happens, that's when, like, you have to have the conversation about, do we have to euthanize this animal?
Right.
Nobody wants that. So don't approach the animals.
Right.
If you want to see animals up close, then, like, zoos exist for a reason.
And
I mean, they're in their own sadness. Right. They're not great either.
There's doo-doo crimes all
over
that.
Doo-doo crimes all over. I know.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the stage. More relativism
and doo-doo crimes. If you find yourself in the magical position of coming across one of the beautiful animals that exists in the national park system on one of these territories, then like, take the damn moment and just like, stay where you are and just enjoy the fact that you are in this space with this other creature.
Unless it's a bear.
Unless it's a bear, in which case there are things you need to do.
Right.
We could do a whole trail mix
on bears.
How to deal with bears.
Yeah. And it would be called Bears on Bears.
Bears on Bears. I don't know. Is that accurate?
No.
No, it wouldn't be accurate.
But I think for the laugh factor.
For the laugh. Yeah. For the laugh, maybe so. This has been Trail Mix by Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast. And we're here to remind you to hike early and hike often, and that adventure is always out there.
Gaze at the National Parks was created and is hosted by Dustin Ballard and Michael Ryan.
All original artwork featured on Instagram and on our website is by Michael Ryan.
This episode was edited by Dustin Ballard. To view more images from this episode, follow our Instagram at Gaze at the National Parks. To contact us, email us at gazeatthenationalparks@gmail.com. And to learn more about this episode or any of the other episodes that are on our podcast, visit our website at gazeatthenationalparks.com.
All original music was written by Dave Seaman and performed by Dave Seaman with Mariella Klinger and Sean Sclios. Our music producer is Skylar Fortgang.